Right, so today we do the second song and the third song. Quite a long section, actually. I hope we can manage to do it all right in one go. Song 2, which is from chapter 1, verse 9 of the Song of Solomon, to chapter 2, verse 7, song 2, is the bride, we put as the bride in his garden retreat. And you'll see why that comes up as we go through. Now, in verse 9, I have compared thee, O my love. This is obviously the bridegroom speaking to his bride. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. So obviously we've got here Christ the bridegroom describing his bride. And it might seem rather odd to describe her as a company of horses, until you realise that the horses here in the Hebrew is in the feminine gender. We would say mares. It's the feminine gender. And then a company of horses. In other words, the bride is like a team. A team of horses must pull together. They're set in a way that they can work together as a whole. And that's how it should be in ecclesial life. Pulling together as one, like pulling a coach here on a state occasion with all the ornaments on the horses and so on for such a parade at this time. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ prays in John chapter 17 and verse 22 that they may be one. And you can never have unity in ecclesial life. There can never really be one unless we are of one mind. One mind in the Word of God. It's like a marriage. It's the same idea. It won't work unless we can accommodate each other and become as one mind. So serious is this in ecclesial life that in the 1st of Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul says, that's 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined in the same mind and in the same judgment. It isn't a matter of talking about love. It's a matter of developing the same mind through the Word of God. That's the only way we can ever come to the same judgment. You might like to turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and here in that chapter, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, and we read in verse 4 then of Romans 15, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Without scriptures, we haven't got a hope. But more than that, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. And we can only be one-minded when we have the comfort of the scriptures together. So verse 6, that you may with one mind, you see how Paul emphasizes this, and one mouth, the things we say are the same things, glorify God. That's the principle behind a unity here, to glorify God, not to express our own personal desires. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherefore receive ye one another. You get this again and again, don't you? Receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And that's the first principle, to keep in mind that whatever we do, we're doing it for God. We're not doing it for ourselves. And that way, we're of the same mind. And so described here as a company of horses or mares, pulling Pharaoh's chariots all with their ornaments. But when you talk about, or says here about Pharaoh's chariots, where else do we read of chariots? Well, plenty of places. But I'm thinking particularly of the cherubim. The cherubim in Ezekiel 1 are the chariots of Yahweh. And then it says here, jewels. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels. Well, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, I will make up my jewels. Well, what's the other passage we always think of with jewels? Malachi 3:17. They shall be mine in the day when I make up my jewels. Actually, Malachi 3, verse 17 there, they shall be mine the day they make up my jewels. We should turn to Proverbs, however. Proverbs chapter 1. And in Proverbs chapter 1, we want verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1, verse 8. Here we read, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains, that's like rows of jewels, about thy neck. So this is the idea. What you find, all these expressions in the Song of Solomon are all found elsewhere in Scripture as well, which helps us in our understanding. So here it is, like a chains around thy neck, the necklace. Now, what it says, coming back to the Song of Solomon, thy cheeks are comely with rose. You notice the jewels here as actually not in the text there. Thy neck with chains of gold. But here, the gold really is jewels. That's the word others use, gold here, jewels. But it does speak of tried faith, doesn't it? You can't have gold without it being purified. That's the tried faith. And all the saints have had their faith tried. Now they come to the time when faith has come to its fullness and the bridegroom claims them. Trying of faith, 1 Peter 1, verse 7. And then it says in verse 11, we shall make thee therefore borders of gold with studs of silver. Here, silver speaks of
redemption.
That's it. Numbers chapter 3, verse 49. So in that here, verse 11, we make the borders of gold with studs of silver. That obviously isn't the bridegroom, is it? That is the angels. Because they come with the bridegroom. The angels have worked with us, though we do not see them. What does Paul say in Hebrews 1, verse 14? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? So it's the angel saying, we'll make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. And then 1 Corinthians 3 verse 12 is another passage there, though I won't turn to that now. So the bride here, before Christ, is adorned in this way. But wait a minute. We have to see the spiritual side of this. So what is she adorned with? She's adorned with a perfect character. How do we describe a perfect character? What characteristics make up the jewels, as it were, in the necklace? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, all described in Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. So if you think of where the queen in procession, you get sort of the idea. Now, in verse 12 then to 14, the bride speaks of the comfort she gains from his love. She speaks of the comfort of his love. So verse 12 says, while the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts.